accession number 19657, real one.
John Scholes, real one. Where were you born, please?
Birkenhead.
Which year was this?
1924.
Did you grow up and go to school in Birkenhead?
Yes, lived there all my life.
Which school did you go to there?
Oh, I went to a variety of schools there. St. Werburgh's, St. Lawrence's, Holy Cross, and St. Hugh's.
How old were you when you finished your school?
14.
So that would have been 1938. Did you get a job?
Yes, I got a job.
What were you doing?
An order boy.
Is that what you were doing when war was declared?
No. I was working on the market gardens when war was declared.
Was that in the Wirral?
Yes. In Leeso.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
I did.
Under what circumstances did you hear that?
It was outside where I lived down in Birkenhead at the time, and all the people were gathered around when he made his speech, you know.
How did everybody react to it?
Well, some were cheering and some were, you know, saying it's a bad thing and one thing and another. All had different opinions.
How did you feel about it yourself?
To tell you the truth, I didn't bother. I just carried on as it was.
Did the war affect you at first?
Well, it didn't affect me as an individual, you know. But a couple of years later, like, I joined the army.
So were you in the bombing of Birkenhead area?
Oh, yeah.
What do you remember about that?
Oh, lots of casualties on you, personally. We had to dig some out, you know, and one thing and another, done our best.
What was your address during the bombing?
Address?
Yes.
101 Beaufort Road, Birkenhead.
And is that where you'd heard the Chamberlain declaring war?
Yeah.
Did any bombs fall near your street?
Oh, I did. We were right opposite the docks. They were bombing the shipping over the road, you know. In Beaufort Road, there's a row of houses there, then the road, and then the railway line, and then the docks. You're right on it. There was, the next block to us, there was three houses, was it one, two, three? Three houses were blitzed, you know, really bad. People were killed, and one thing and another.
Where were you when that happened?
I was in Buccleuch Street when the bombs dropped. We were hanging around to see what we could do, like with anybody, you know.
Was your house damaged?
No. No, I was the next block.
So when the bombing was on, did you go and take shelter?
Well, we had an Andrew, Andrew shelter in the back garden. Well, I never bothered with it. Stay in the house.
Whereabouts did you go in the house if bombs were dropping?
Only in the kitchen. So, nowhere else you'd go, unless you went in the Anderson shelter.
Why didn't you want to go in the Anderson shelter?
Didn't bother.
Were you frightened of the bombing?
Not really. And it never frightened me the way I thought it would do, you know. I'd walk around in the streets, seeing everybody was all right. All the lads around about my age used to do the same thing then. You know.
What about your parents? Were they frightened?
Well, my mother and father were separated. There's only my mother at home.
How did she take to it?
She didn't bother her at all. Tell you the truth.
Can you tell me about joining the army, please?
What's that?
Can you tell me about how you joined the army, please?
Oh, I was going to join up in boys' service, you know, because there was no work. And anyway, my mother taught me how to. So eventually I joined up and went in the Welsh Regiment.
Do you remember the date that you joined?
The day I joined.
What date was it that you joined?
1st of April. April Fool's Day. 1943.
So had you volunteered for the army?
I volunteered for it, yeah.
Did you particularly want to go in the Welsh Regiment?
Well, my brother was in the Welsh Regiment, so, you know, I might go along with him, you know. Well, I didn't, just, I was only in the Welsh Regiment a few weeks and I joined the Paras. Well, I volunteered for the Paras, like, and I got accepted and I went in. And about 3 months after, I was in North Africa.
Were your parents Welsh?
No. It's English.
So, where did you do the basic training?
Brecon, South Wales.
What was that like?
Well, it's in the mountains of Brecon. No, Brecon Beacons.
What was the training like?
Well, training was pretty hard going, you know. Because you're up and down mountains. You couldn't... couldn't say it was easy. Well, it never bothered me.
Were you able to do it? What
oh,
well,
yeah.
To?
Yeah.
How were you treated on the training?
Oh, very well. Very well. They're all the instructors, they were all peacetime soldiers, you know. They had a bit of service in.
Were you fed well?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What happened to you after the basic training then? What happened to you after the basic training?
Well, we passed out to join the battalion of the Welsh Regiment stationed down in Duxford in Cambridge. Brother was stationed on there.
During the war?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see him?
No, I never seen him from... till 45 when we came home.
What were you doing at Duxford? What was your battalion doing?
They were on air defence, you know, protecting the airfield.
Was it attacked whilst you were there? Was the airfield attacked whilst you were there?
I couldn't say now whether it was or not. I suppose it was, you know, because it was handy for the Germans to get at Duxford.
But you don't remember any attack?
No. I remember the AK-AK guns going up and one thing and another, you know. But whether they were attacking us, I don't know, you know.
Did you stay there very long?
No, I was only there a matter of weeks. And I went to the Chesterfield, to the Para Regiment.
Had you volunteered for the Paras?
Oh, yeah.
Why did you do that?
Well, actually, I got interested in it. Up the road here at Arrow Park, they used to have Malcolm, what was his name? He used to have a flying circus, and they used to two exhibitions up at Arrow Park, you know. That's where they had the first Boy Scout Jamboree, at Arrow Park, you know. And I got interested in it. We used to go walk up and watch them. Couldn't get in, like, we couldn't afford it, you know. But we'd watch it from the outside, you know. And there was a bloke named Clem Somme. He was the bird man, you know. He used to step out off the wing and opened his wings. Eventually he buried himself.
So how did you go about volunteering for the Paras?
Oh, well, they were doing around every day asking for volunteers for the paras and commandos. Every day in the week, some officer from one or the other, you know, or a senior NCO.
What happened to you at Chesterfield?
Well, Chesterfield, that's where you've done your basic training for the paras. And then when you done the course there, you went to Ringway.
What was the basic training for the paras similar to for the Welsh regiment?
A bit harder. A bit stiffer, you know. It was longer marches and one thing and another, you know. Oh, it was much stiffer than the basic training, you know.
Any incidents that happened to you at Chesterfield?
No, not really, no. Just got on with our training, you know. It's all different, you know. See, the RAF were the instructors at Chesterfield. At Ringway, you went from the army to the RAF, and they'd done all your training through the, in them days, it was the Whittleys, the hole in the bottom. You'd done all your basic training there on them. Then eventually, you'd only done your jumps, got presented with your wings.
How did you take to jumping out of aircraft?
Well, you dropped out of a balloon first, cage and under the balloon, you know. And you went down a hell of a 60 or 70 feet, you know, without anything. And then that chute was open and you were all right. You went down, rolled your chute up and handed it in. Then went in a nappy and had a cup of tea.
Any memories of Ringway? Any incidents happened to you there?
No, the only thing that I remember about Ringway is Gracie Fields was there. She was the ENSA star. And it was flattered all over the... I always remember this, the newspapers, that she deserted the country and gone through, took her money to the States, and she was here entertaining the troops. You know. You don't know how these rumours get about.
What happened to you after Ringway?
Well, Ringway, we went back to Chesterfield. And there was a draft going to North Africa. And we were put on it.
Were you in a battalion by now?
No. Just a course, what they call a course. We went down to Liverpool and picked a troop ship up and off we popped.
Which troop ship did you go in?
Well, the Athlone Castle.
What were conditions like in that?
Yeah, they were very good, really. Accommodation was a bit crushed, you know, a bit tight. But luckily enough, we never got attacked or anything.
Where did you end up?
Algiers.
Had you run into the enemy on the voyage?
No. We had a few scares, like, you know. Well, I think they were only rumours myself. Because the Navy were getting older, the German Navy by then, you know, they were sinking them left, right and centre.
What do you remember about landing at Algiers?
Well, we just landed at Algiers and they put us in the wagons and off we went up through the Atlas Mountains and down to Ferryville. Is it Ferryville? Yeah. Then onwards down to Sousse. Join the first airborne, they were there, the rest of it, like, you know. And then we just trained and trained until we went over to Italy.
So you didn't do any fighting in Turin?
No, not Africa, no.
So you're a member of the 1st Battalion?
No, I was in the 4th Battalion. The 1st, 2nd and 3rd, that was the 1st Brigade. Then the 4th, 5th and 6th, that was the 2nd Brigade. Yeah, that's all, yeah.
No, don't bother with the papers. We can look at those later.
Yeah, but this gives you more information. And
so, which company of the 4th Battalion were you in?
A Company.
And do you remember which platoon?
C Platoon.
Do you remember the people in charge of you?
Oh, well, the officer, you mean?
And the officer and the sergeant?
Lofty Meadows was the platoon sergeant. See, the parachute regiment is different to ordinary infantry regiment because you have four sergeants in a platoon, four corporals and so on and so forth. Sergeant Meadows was the platoon sergeant, Lofty Meadows. He finished up my section sergeant was Bill Dresser. That's like you want them in a 1, 2 and 3 section.
Yes, if you can remember, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember them all right. One section was Ralph Underwood. 2 section was Bill. I can't even think of his name now. You've got a soldier up there. He came from Keighley in Yorkshire, you know. Yeah, it's gone from you, that mine.
That's all right.
Yeah. Good God.
That's all right, I might come back to you later.
Back in.
What did you think of these sergeants?
Oh, he was a real good sergeant. He was only a little bloke, you know. But he was a good one, you know. Actually, I thought he should have been decorated, but, you know, along with a few others, but he never. Yeah, he was a good one, Bill. He got badly wounded initially. He was away about 2 months. Bill Dresser. That was his name, Bill Dresser. Came from Keighley in Yorkshire. I used to meet him at the Born Forces Day, you know, most years.
Any memories of being in Tunisia?
No, not really. We were only training, you know, up and down hills and in the sand. Plenty of sand. Yeah, Bill.
And
he died last year, by the way, Billy.
And what about going from Tunisia to Italy? Do you remember that?
Oh, he went over on the tank landing craft. LCT to Taranto, then on to Foggia in Italy. That's when we started fighting. Took the airfields of Foggia, you know.
Can you describe what happened?
Well, it just you only got your order to go in and take this place or whatever it was, you know, and you done it.
Was there much resistance?
Oh, there's plenty of resistance, yeah. Especially on the Sangro River. That was the first river going across. Like Italy is a country where there's a river every few miles going right across, you know, and you've got to fight to get across them. We crossed the Sangro, that was the first one. There was the Rapido, the Volcano, the Filigliani,
Were you taking many casualties?
Oh, I had quite a few casualties, yeah. Our platoon, well, this was after, like, as we got further up Italy, round Orsonia, and Afro, around that way, we got a terrible thousand of them. We lost 8 in the platoon, and the platoons were never up to strength, you know. Yeah.
Can you remember what happened?
Well, as usual, it was a stupid thing what the Paras were doing. We had to go over 1,000 yards of open ground, no protection whatsoever, to take this small hamlet down in the valley. And the Germans just sat back, never fired a shot until we got right to the village. Then they opened up with everything. Machine guns, mortars, a lot. You name it, they done it. And the first casualty was Alf Goldman, sergeant. He was a giant of a man, I know. Anyway, he eventually died of his wounds, like, you know, so don't put that in, you know. Alf. He was the only Jew I knew up till then in the army, you know. He was an East End Londoner. A good bloke, you know. Well, they were all good blokes, you know. I think it was five killed and three wounded, you know. Such cases.
Did you get wounded yourself?
No. Got badly shook up by a couple of mortar bombs, you know. The Germans were very, very clever with the mortars.
Where was that battle?
This was by Ausonia. I can't tell you the name of the place. It was on a place they called the Mad Mile. You know, when you got to one end, you had to get in the transport, what there was, as quick as you could, and shoot along there as quick as you could, because it was open to the Germans on the side there. This was in the Adriatic sector. This was the 8th Army, you know. The 5th Army were over on the Mediterranean side, the easy side.
Yeah. Any other memories of advancing against the Germans in Italy?
Oh, we attacked different places at different times, you know, and one thing or another. We was in one place, we were there a couple of weeks. We were only in 24 hours, and then out, and then being, say, 7 days, and out again, relieve somebody else, you know. This is the way it went on from October in 43 to the beginning of April in 44. We actually finished up in Casino. There was more casualties in Casino than any other battle in the war.
Were you at Casino yourself?
Oh, we were in the, you know, the inspection pits. The train drives over and they work from underneath. Well, that's where we were. With the, well, they'd been battered by the 88, and they were just lying all over the place. Oh, there's bodies everywhere. They declared a truce one time to bury the dead, the Germans and with the British. And they were out helping each other, you know.
Did you go out and do that yourself?
No, we never. Why should you do that? You'd be showing your position right away. No, they brought troops from the back, you know. And they went around, and with German troops who come from the back, they were doing the same. No, if we'd popped up that a minute, they'd have just, as soon as the troops were declared, they'd have flanked, you know, because they'd be accurate with the 88.
So where were these inspection pits?
In the station, in Casino Station. We was beneath they were at the back. You know, the train just drags the wagons in and on the train and whatever needs to be done, they do it. But they'd been caught there because they sent 1,000 bombers over Casino. And all that was left was mounds of rubble. They defeated the aim, you know. The same as they were going to do in, what's the name, this last lot they done. It was ridiculous. Unless they were going to hit the Serbs with the bombs, it was just pointless doing it. Just because they knew that we had more than them, that's the only reason they asked for the truce. mass bombing doesn't prove anything. You've got to go in and take the place.
So were you in these inspection pits very long?
We were a month in Casino, in them, from, probably say, the second week in April to the first week in May. What it was all about was the big push was going in, and we had to go in there and hold it in case the Germans counterattacked before the big push could go in. And then, well, they had, what, I think it was 2,000 guns and about 15 mile across, blasting away, tanks and everything. And they still didn't take it right away. The Poles had to go in and clear it out, you know. They finally took it, the Poles. And we came out of there then and moved along to the right-hand side on a mountain called San Pietro. We were there about a month, and it was mined all around. And one of our sections went out on a patrol, and they walked on the minefields. There was 8 or 9 casualties, you know. Or was it 13, I think, forget now. We had to go out, you know, help to get off them who could move. They're in a hell of a state.
Did you know them?
Oh, yeah, they were all personally. Every one of them, yeah.
Was it the whole battalion that was on this San Pietro?
It was our battalion, yeah. 4th battalion, yeah. A company was round the bottom. B company was halfway up, and C company were on the top, which was ridiculous. The pilots, you know, they do some stupid things. No, two ways about it.
What should they have done?
Well, they should have just stayed around the bottom where they were, where they had cover. I mean, you can't dig into a stone mountain and cover yourself up. You just pile the stones up. There's a photograph there. You see how it was. Yeah. No, they... Because you're a para, they seem to think that you're immune, that a bullet won't hurt you. It hurt you just as much as it hurts the next man. It's ridiculous. That's when Lofty Meadows, Lofty run out, and one of the lads went down, and he run out and just picked him up, because he was a big man, Lofty, like, you know, 6'2". I think he was over the limit, you know, because he had a limit on the height and the weight in the palace, you know. Lofty should have got a medal for that anyway, but he never.
What were your living conditions like on San Pietro?
Mules used to bring everything up. One of our lads, like, say, one section were halfway up. One of the lads out the section, he'd go down and ride the mule back up with the Indians were muleteers, you know, the stubborn things, their mules and all. Yeah. Yeah, well, while we're up there in the mountains, that's what we, the only transport was the mule, you know. And then we come down then, and we finally got a good break. We went down to Salerno and started preparing for the parachute operation.
Your first parachute operation?